Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Where you go for important items in life, such as insurance, it's a big statement, and it's who you trust. Well, the Purdy's have earned the trust with decades of service to this area. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Two-thirds of the way through the Patriot League regular season. Bucknell tied with Colgate for the top spot at 8-4. Final third about the start. We're joined by the head coach of the Bison. That is Dave Paulson, who joins us on the line now. Dave, welcome. It's great to have you back.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be on the show.
I'm sure that you weren't exactly high-fiving people with your defensive performance in the previous two games. Now you got 31% out of Holy Cross. What were the key elements in making your defense so solid the other day?
Well, you know what? And actually, Steve, we had four halves of basketball this week, and we had three good defensive halves. We played an excellent first half at Lafayette, and then a very poor defensive effort in the second half. And that's all we put back-to-back halves together defensively yesterday. You know, and it's that fine line. We'd won five in a row, and we were trying to keep our guys fresh and sharp and ready for the next game. And when you do that, and you don't kind of grind and do as much hitting and contact work and practice, you lose some of your, you have some slippage. So we really got back to the basics Monday and Tuesday in preparation for Lafayette, Friday and Saturday in preparation for Holy Cross, really physical, intense practices. And I think that carried over to our defensive effort for the entire game yesterday.
What's interesting to me about your team is that John Annazzaro led you in scoring, and Zach Thomas had a double-double. What's interesting is that every week we sit down, we seem to be talking about different players that have done something for you. What is that telling you about your team?
Well, it tells there's a lot of variety, there's a lot of versatility, there's a lot of depth. There's still a certain level of inconsistency, that we're trying to combat. If we can get all our guys clicking on the same night, it's a pretty special group. But I thought John Azzanero, he got a tough whistle at Lafayette. He got two quick fouls in 3 minutes of play in the first half. We got up to a 38-23 lead. He just couldn't get his rhythm. He did a great job scoring the ball yesterday, but he really defended at a high level. And then Zach Thomas, who's a freshman, has been up and down in terms of his consistency. He did a great job on the defensive glass and got fouled quite a bit, knocked down 10 free throws. And that was important. Corey Starkey, our starting forward, sprained his ankle, pretty severe ankle sprain in the first 2 minutes of the game, was out and will probably be out for at least another week or so. So, we need all hands on deck.
You've had a lot of close games, which means situational basketball. So two areas, Dave. How well have you performed in special teams? How would you grade that out for your team? And how well have you handled late game situations at both ends of the floor where you really have to be precise?
Well, I mean, kind of like how we handled our whole season. Exceptionally well some games that we've won and not as well in games that we've lost. Part of it is, you execute your offense to get a shot, and I think for the most part we've done that. We've gotten the shots we wanted in late game situations. Sometimes they go in, sometimes they don't. The bigger thing is stringing together stops, defensive stops in late game situations, and that's where we were really good in our five-game winning streak and where we were good yesterday, and certainly not as good against Colgate or Lafayette. I thought yesterday one of the special situation was the entire game was facing Holy Cross's run and kept it on us for 40 minutes. We turned the ball over only 8 times, including only twice in the second half. And we rotated basically 4 guards, sharing ball handling duties. Stephen Brown and Ryan Frazier kind of played together, and John Asnero and Stephen Casper played together. And combined, those 4 guys did a great job handling the ball against pressure, and they did a great job defensively against the 2 leading scorers from Holy Cross. And that was a kind of collective group effort that we needed.
I know in football, for example, if you have one guy, no matter how much you practice something, doesn't quite get it, you really have to scrap it. I mean, one guy. In basketball, you've got 5. Can you put in everything you want right now, Dave, that you think could make a difference, but you can't do some things because not all 5 guys grasp it?
Yeah, it is. It's a fine line. And part of it, Steve, to be very candid with you, is the group that we're playing a lot now is different than the group that played at the beginning of the year. That necessitates some changes defensively and offensively in terms of the skill set of some of the guys. So it's a neat thing. You know, we've had some young players emerge and develop, but it's a fine line right now is getting better at the stuff you do and trying to throw in one more wrinkle a week. And for a stretch there, we were adding one offensive wrinkle a week, and I think it helped us, but it detracted from our defensive focus and energy. So last week and this week, you know, our emphasis is going to be getting a little more solid, a little more tight with our defense. But that's the thing. It's almost kind of like you got to pick one or two things that you can work on in a week, especially with such a young team.
With such a young team, though, you are a plus 50 right now, assists to turnovers. That's 2 a game. When you see that and that your team is on the plus side by that amount of assists to turnovers, what is that telling you? What are you seeing in the tape that tells you that they're doing it the right way? Because that is an important number for any coach to have.
Oh, it's a huge number, and it certainly is for us a huge number. And, you know, we've just emphasized it, you know, and our guards have worked exceptionally hard. You know, our staff's worked great with them, and those numbers weren't nearly as good in our out-of-league competition. And that's one of the reasons we're playing better. We're taking a shot at the basket every time down the floor for the most part. And you're not always going to make it, but you're going to have a chance to get fouled. You're going to have a chance to get an offensive rebound. So just taking care of the ball has been a huge part of our improvement as a team.
Army and Navy. Navy first coming up. Ed's team will be next. They'll both be on the road. I know, Ed, you talked about your team being different now. Ed's team is different now because he added a player of significance in December. What are your thoughts on facing them and the keys to facing how they play?
Well, you know, we were down 6 here as a reason. We ended up, you know, pulling the game out. And I thought that for 30-some minutes, you know, they play tougher. They play with great discipline. They have a potential player of the year in Worth Smith, who came back after injury, as you mentioned. They're a very, very physical team, and a very aggressive team defensively. And so we're going to have to handle that physicality. You know, the Service Academy teams are always physical, and some would say they're allowed to play physically. So we're going to have to mask that, handle it, and really be focused defensively.
You know, I'll let you go here, but I'll tell you, I've looked at your numbers, and when I see 73% free throws against you, your free throw percentage defense has to improve, Dave.
No. Well, our free throw percentage defense has to improve, but our free throw percentage offense really has to improve. You know, that's we're about 7 or 8 percentage points down from what most of our teams have been. In fact, I'm looking at some stats. Our championship team 77.4 and 78.6, and we're at 67. And that, you know, to be very candid, Steve, is going to you know, we're either going to prove that or we're going to lose some tight games. And that's what we'll be working on in about 15 minutes.
Yeah, Joe Crispin, when he was here, and Joe scored 1,987 points in his career, and he was in the NBA for a period. He always told me, he says, Steve, I love the free throw line because those are free points. Interesting.
Dave, we can convince
exactly.
them, that'd be great.
Yeah, exactly. Dave, thanks a lot for the time. Good luck this week against Navy and Army.
All right, thanks, Steve.
All right, Dave Paulson, head basketball coach at Bucknell. We'll come back with more in a moment, including Kevin Herr's breakdown question by question, his analysis of the interview in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Love.
At Sunbury Motors, their customers have loved their prices for 100 years. But they're going to be crazy in love this month with invoice-less rebates. February, the month of love, is invoice-less rebates on all of our new Kias. How about a 2015 Kia 5 LX for $13,999? Our race-winning 2015 Optimus starting at $18,998. And we can't forget about our SUV lovers. We have 23 2015 Serenos starting at $21,515. And all of our new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotors.com. SMCs. Selling more cars and loving our customers for 100 years.
Tax and tags extra. All applicable Kia customer rebates apply. KMF bonus cash and financing to well-qualified customers.
Hi, this is Susan Purdy. For over 85 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. Our trained and knowledgeable staff has centuries of experience, so rest assured your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 286-5855, check us out online at purdyinsurance.com, or visit us on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Welcome back. And now, for the next 9.5 minutes, Kevin will talk about the two interviews. I'll just sit back.
No, I think you did a nice job. I'm very happy with how it turned out. How's that? That's analysis for you.
That's a cop-out.
That, too.
That's a cop-out. Dean Smith. So many areas to talk about with Dean Smith. You know, Dean Smith was somebody that, early on he had to fight his way through because he took over at a bad time in North Carolina basketball. To most people, Fog Allen's a field house. He actually played basketball for Fog Allen at Kansas. His parents were both teachers, so he understood the value of education and being a teacher in himself. Joe Paterno always thought of himself as a teacher. Dean Smith thought of himself as a teacher. He adapted with the times. He came up with different things. Charlie Scott being the first African-American in the ACC, he knew it was the right thing to do. He would deliberately go to restaurants with Charlie Scott, because they were not going to turn away Dean Smith. And he knew it. He took over at a time when there was a point shaving scandal that involved four NC State players in the Dixieland tournament and one North Carolina player. So naturally, as is the notion of typical decision makers, is that panic. De-emphasize basketball. All right, just slow down. But of course, that's what they did. So that's why they were only allowed to play in Dean Smith's first year two non-conference games. I think it was Notre Dame and Indiana were the two. But they only played two non-conference games. That's why you notice he only had 17 games his first year. It's the only losing season he had at 8-9. But it also, when you're coming back from scandal and de-emphasizing the program, it takes you a while to build things back up. Yet in his fourth year, coming back to campus, there it was, Dean Smith hanging in effigy from a tree after a loss at Wake Forest. After that, his team won 9 of the next 11. He can be judged by Final Fours going to 11. National championships, he won 2. 96% graduation rate. But he's the guy that when a pass was made, the guy that scored was to point back to the guy that passed him the ball and the assist. Thus, my question to Dick about, is it any surprise that Michael Jordan, great fundamental defender, created so much offense with his defense? Two of the big shots that won the Bulls championships were off Michael Jordan passes, not shots. That's because he understood that the open man in the Carolina system, that's what they did. Dean Smith, team huddling up together, foul line. Four-corner offense. Dean Smith used it as an offense. He had the brilliant, mercurial Phil Ford running the offense. 9 times out of 10, the fastest guy on the court. Using wide open space to then create a play, and Dean Smith used it as an offense. What happened later is that other coaches also used four corners, but they used it as a stall and not as an offense. Well, when the other coaches started using it as a stall to kill time off the clock, that's when the advent of the shot clock came in. Dean Smith constantly changing defenses. A lot of trapping. Fast break was an offense, not an occasional happening. He come out of timeouts, he'd change the defense, give you a different look than the one you thought you were going to get before you went into your huddle. Brilliant in-game coaching. And now today, you have, at the end of the game in the final minute, you have timeouts, or excuse me, clock stoppages, my apologies, clock stoppages on every made basket. Dean Smith would hoard his timeouts to the end. He won a game at Duke once down 6 with 17 seconds to go. How? Baskets, timeouts, traps, baskets, timeouts. He won the game in regulation. So he'd save his timeouts for the end. Now today it's a little different strategy. You really want to use your timeouts before that final minute. Maybe save one if you want to do something strategically at the end. But you stop the clock outside of a minute if you're just trying to stop the clock. Because on a made basket, the clock's going to stop anyway. Play on that. He just did things that he thought were keys to advancing what North Carolina needed to do, and also he coached it up to his coaches, and when they went other places, they did it that way. Other things that I love that he did, he was the guy that started the seniors on senior day. That was Dean Smith. And one year he had 6 seniors at North Carolina. You know what he did? He sent all 6 out there, deliberately took a technical foul because he didn't want to slight any senior. I remember one year, Penn State's playing in the NCAA tournament. It was at the Carrier Dome in Syracuse. And I'm in there for the series of press conferences, which included, you know, Bruce Parkhill. It included Raleigh Massimino, in it, you know, because Villanova was in the regional. It included Richard Williams of Mississippi State. It included Dean Smith of North Carolina. And I sat there and listened to him for his 20 minutes, and you listened to what he had to say. And I remember picking up the game notes, and I'm going through the North Carolina game notes, and I noticed they played a game at Colgate. North Carolina played a game at Colgate. Now, you want to know why he did that? He did that because King Rice, his senior guard, was from the Binghamton area. And the Colgate game was a way to get King Rice to play a game at home in front of his family. That's the other thing that he did. He always made sure he scheduled a game for his seniors in the area that they came from so they could, quote, have a home game of their own. important things. Those are not little things. Those are big things that make a difference, that show that he cares about you and not just about how many he's going to rack up himself. Very important. You have more flexibility in basketball to do such things, and he did it. That's why I say things, same thing about Joe, Mike Munchak, Todd Blackledge. You don't think they could have helped? Stay an extra year? Of course, but he knew it was better for them to go, and he's given others the same advice over time. Better for you to go. Better for you. Very rare they've gone against it. Richie Anderson was one of the few that went against it. And it turned out Richie turned out to be right. Richie had a 10-year NFL career and was in the Pro Bowl one year. Joe Paterno graduating his players. Trying to recruit the right way. 80-plus percent recruit graduation rate. Moving his players to a position he thought would be best for them their senior season because he felt that was their best avenue to get to the NFL. Joe did that almost all the time. Who advocated for a college football playoff for decades? Who advocated for instant replay? Who advocated for a 12th team in the Big Ten for a championship game? Interesting, isn't it? That's why you listen to the visionaries. They see the big picture.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. For decades, they have cared about their customers' needs very, very much. And because of that, they are outstanding at taking care of all of your insurance needs. And I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And what is Kevin driving this week?
A 2015 Ford Focus, the brand new Ford Focus that has a lot of changes, including the EcoBoost package available in the SE model. You also find the winter package available, which now they're calling the cold weather package. That's heated seats, heated steering wheel, the standard rear view camera, standard sync with my Ford, standard my key, increased storage with the cup holders in the front, the center, the media bin with smart charging USB ports, and what I think is one of the coolest new features, the 1.0 EcoBoost engine with start-stop in the 6-speed manual transmission. Now, that's a 1.0 EcoBoost engine, which gives it a lot more power than a standard 1.0 liter engine. But it also has the start-stop technology. When you put your foot on the brake at a stop sign or a traffic light, it actually turns the engine off, kind of like it does in a hybrid. And then when you lift your foot off the brake, the engine starts right back up again for even more gas mileage. We'll talk more about some of the changes in the 2015 Ford Focus available at Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, throughout the week.
Sounds great. All right, that's at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, we've talked about a variety of things. Penn State basketball, of course, won on Saturday. Nittany Lions have won 3 of their last 5, and they will play at Ohio State on Wednesday night. And yesterday, Ohio State, D'Angelo Russell, whom I have not had a chance to see in person, cranked out a triple-double yesterday of 23-11-11. not only in the running for Big Ten Freshman of the Year, but in the running for Big Ten Player of the Year, and also in the running for one of the top 10 players in the country. A lot of people think that this is a one-and-done for him and that the 5 or 6 people picked in the draft get a chance to see him. Ohio State's been up and down just a bit. Over time, they have not been playing Mark Loving, who's suspended by the school, not by the basketball program, but by the school. He is still practicing with them, and I don't know whether he's going to play against Penn State or not. Penn State won the game. Shep Gardner, a couple big threes down the stretch. Brandon Taylor gave them 21 minutes, hit 3 trays in the game. Geno Thorpe played well, had 14. Defensively held Nebraska to 29% from the field. mean, it had all the ingredients that a Penn State win has. Hold the opponent under 40, outshoot the opponent from the field, out-rebound the opponent, and lead the game at halftime and thus play with the lead. And in the three Penn State wins in the last five games, they've done all three of those things, which has been typical for the season. So now they have Ohio State in Columbus on Wednesday night. It's interesting. History can be a great teacher for you, but I talked about taking over at a tough time. Dean Smith took over at a tough time in North Carolina. And, of course, you know, I got to sit here and compare, obviously, Pat Chambers to Dean Smith, because Dean Smith won 877 games in his career in North Carolina as a dynasty. But in Dean Smith's early part of his career, he took over at a tough time. He, too, had to kind of fight his way through early times. And patience paid off there. And Pat Chambers took over at a tough time for Penn State basketball. By the way, when you talk about, I mean, remember, when was Pat's first game? Pat's first game as the head coach was that Nebraska weekend, and that week where everything went absolutely crazy around here. That was his first game. How well do you think you're going to recruit against other people who are going after you pretty good about what's going on at your campus? Not easy. Not easy. It's not just football that gets affected. It's a lot of things. Penn State's turning the corner on football moving forward. But there's still some things in football they're going to need to make this thing move forward. I think that a lot of the personnel stuff is in place the way James Franklin wants to do it. You know, the Drayton thing at Ohio State, again, tells you just how disingenuous this recruiting process is. Oh, I'm going to leave for the Bears now. Oh, you are? Really? But you just recruited me to play running back. You're leaving now? And you see stuff like that. You just shake your head. Can people in the recruiting business do things on the up and up? I mean, you're the defending national champions. Do you really need to do that? Go about your business that way? I can guarantee you the Bears offer did not just... Hey, really? Penn State's going to have to now eventually do some things. I think once there is a money flow happening around here, you're going to have to get some cash flow to do it. But there's certain things you're going to have to do facility-wise here that I think are, you know, you've got, if you're going to keep yourself on the cutting edge of what's going on. Some of it's done. They redid the auditorium in football. That was big. You saw the $12 million donation for plans to redo parts of Lash Building, which they have to do. I mean, you have to do, the way it's set up with the equipment room, the way it's set up with the locker room, the way, you know, the locker room has to be redone, the way it's set up in your training room. I mean, the training room at Pagula is unbelievable. You got to make sure your training room at football is the same way. Same thing with basketball. You do the same thing in basketball, too. Hot tub, cold tub, things like that. Basketball needs a new practice gym. I can tell you that off the top. They just got money for a film room, which is really great. But at the same time, in football, and I'll tell you right now, Huluba, which has been tremendous. But remember, Huluba's now 29 years old. And you see what other indoor practice facilities are like. They're going to have to really seriously think about what do we do with Huluba. Bring it into this century, and at the same time about branding. You gotta brand. And these are all things that they've got to do, football and men's basketball wise, that are very important. And I think these are some of the issues that are facing them as they recruit. They've done a great job recruiting, but I think the perception, oh, Penn State has great facilities. Well, Penn State has really good facilities, but at the same time, you know, age happens. I mean, Kevin, for example, is not the same svelte, stunning individual he was when he was in his 20s.
No, it's a lot harder to get back there, too.
He
you're not going to make it.
Probably true. Not unless arguing with you.
Unless there's some surgery I don't know about. I'm sure it's covered by the insurance plan.
Ooh, good call.
Those are things moving forward once the money flow happens, whether it's donations, the new TV contract, things like that, getting out from under the bowl sanction, which that's gone to the presidential level, really. So that's not done being talked about. Eric Barron is talking about that with his colleagues at that level. And I know that obviously money's been donated to causes and so forth, and hopefully the money is going to do some good and is not just going to take care of administrative costs. And I'm only saying that not to be cynical. I'm saying that I hope it's going to help somebody instead of going to administrative costs. Pretty simple, straightforward statement. Nothing to be read into that at all. Shouldn't be. So moving forward, that's what it has to be. That's where they are when they're recruiting. Other people are going other places and seeing some of these other things. And if you're going to be up in that level, you got to start providing that kind of level too. And that's where money and some time are going to come into play here. So they talk about money being spent, money being well spent to get things into this decade. Very important. Very important. Wrestling yesterday, we talked about that earlier. No majors, no bonus points either side. Iowa won 6, Penn State won 4. McIntosh did what he was supposed to do. Brown did what he was supposed to do. Iowa should have been favored in 8 out of 10. Penn State won 2 of them to give them 4. I'm not even sure in Brown, he would have been technically favored. Evans is the number 2 ranked wrestler in the country, but based on yesterday, for no apparent reason. Great atmosphere. People got into it yesterday. Students, a lot of students were there yesterday that had never really gone to wrestling before, but because it was an event, they got in there, loved it, and enjoyed being a part of the event. So that was huge yesterday. You get Rutherford and Megalunas in there, and the growth of some guys, and they're right back in the thick of the championship hunt. Look, Penn State is not going to be favored to win any of the individual championships this year. They're going to have some guys that are going to be ranked in the top 4 going into the NCAAs, but they're not going to have any number 1 seeds going in. Won 4 in a row, and obviously they're going to draw a target to begin with, and they know that. But the atmosphere was great. Nearly 16,000 in the Jordan Center yesterday. People into every single moment. Penn State with what Gulabon did at the end, and Penn State was in 8 out of the 10 bouts. Penn State had the better conditioned wrestler that did more in the last 75 seconds of each bout. If I'm the Iowa brass, that concerns me, watching how that played out consistently all afternoon. That would worry me. It was great that it was on Big Ten Network, great that the country got a chance to see it. And it's what the sport needs. That was important for the sport. I believe it was a non-conference event. I don't think that was a conference matchup yesterday. I believe that was not. I think they deliberately set it up. But that tells you that how much the Iowa coaching staff and Cale Sanderson how they understand the big picture of the sport, that they need to, even in years where they aren't scheduled within the conference, they need to wrestle one another because the sport needs them to wrestle each other. And hockey, by the way, two more wins. They're up to 19th in the country here. They beat Wisconsin twice. What a job he's done in a short period of time. Expansion team 3 years ago. Now look where he is.
That's what I was just thinking. They've come out of quickly out of nowhere.
Well, I mean, and this
I don't
is
mean
a
that in a negative way.
What he's done. Well, no. I told him from day one, I said, you're like an expansion team. And he says, I've never thought of it that way. I said, but you're exactly right. So. So, great event yesterday at the Jordan Center. Came off really, really well.
You know what this week is, don't you?
Valentine's Week.
The beginning? Speed Weeks.
Well, on that note, to save the show, we'll go to a break on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Josh Yowie on the Penguins coming up tomorrow. Also going to talk to the play-by-play voice of the Sixers on Wednesday. Tim Frazier's played very well for the Philadelphia 76ers to get things rolling. He's on a 10-day contract. So we're looking forward to hearing about that later in the week as well. Also, it looks like we're going to talk a little Bucknell wrestling, too. So that's coming up later in the week as we roll through. Our thanks to Dick Girardi today and Dave Paulson. Dave talking about, of course, Bucknell basketball there at Navy after yesterday's victory over Holy Cross. And Dick, of course, on giving us perspective on the legendary life and career of Dean Smith. Kevin was telling me some really interesting racing news during the break, of which I missed because I tuned it out.
You zoned out, yeah.
He did mention that Danica Patrick was going to be doing something. That's the equivalent of making sure all the seats are filled at the Tony Awards. So.
I don't even have anything for that.
Not exactly a lot of wins here, dog.
I agreed.
No top fives. Right now, field filler.
Well, she gets in because she's a pole winner for the Daytona 500, but they did change the format. Last year, they let the fans vote on the format.
No,
but it'll be a 75-lap race on Saturday, split into two segments. A competition caution will be at lap 25. The select fans will be paired with each crew chief for a random drawing to determine starting and pit road positions. That's dumb. Let's see. The NASCAR 25 field includes the 2014 pole winners, former Sprint Unlimited race winners, and Daytona 500 pole winners. The first five provisional drivers, Clint Bowyer, Paul Menard, Marcus Ambrose, Casey Mears, and Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
Remember when we started the half hour?
I do.
And we were talking about upgrading football facilities, basketball facilities, wrestling,
I'm aware. Yep.
Did you notice that, like, we had an audience then?
Listen, about 5 years ago, but they're not, you know, they're not ridiculous.
Oh, boy.
Steve, Randy
quickly,
from Sunbury checking in.
Randy,
here.
Hi, Randy, how are you?
Hi, Steve. I know it's late in the hour, but I like to listen to Dory and Mel on Saturday mornings, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, right.
And those two were doing a lot like you and Kevin do. I wonder if they're watching or listening.
Did we patent our format here or anything? I mean, we might have missed out on something.
You better do something, but it sounds just like Steve and Kevin.
Well, yep. They're doing whatever they can to somehow be successful, Randy.
Whatever it takes.
They want their ratings to go up.
You got that right. Yeah. I'll be frank with you. There's some days where I'm hanging on. No, I'm just kidding.
Thanks, Stephen.
Hey, Randy. Thanks,
Randy.
Buddy.
That's a good way to end it.
Well, I think I know what role you've got.
I got a funny feeling I do too. I'm okay with it, strangely enough.
If you want, when you try role reversal tomorrow, I'll kind of sit back and just make some comments like you do.
No,
it's like role reversal Tuesday.